Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, how grateful we are for your presence. How thankful we are for your living word. Thank you for the Psalms, Lord, and thank you this morning for Psalm 143. Open our hearts and minds to what you would have for us as we look at this beautiful little 12-verse psalm. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Psalm 143, in my Bible, it's entitled An Earnest Appeal for Guidance and Deliverance, a Psalm of David. Some refer to this as a psalm for you when you're at rock bottom, kind of in the depths of despair and discouragement, and we go through those things at times, don't we? And we see a beautiful psalm here, very instructive psalm, it seems to me, that David wrote apparently when he was in a great sense of depression and despondency and danger and enemies all around him. And we have those ever-present enemies around us, certainly the wicked ones, don't we, the workers of iniquity. So verse 1, hear my prayer, O Lord. So what do we do when we're in the depths of despair? Pray. Who do we pray to? Hear my prayer, O Lord, O Jehovah, O Yahweh. So hear, H-E-A-R, hear. You know, it's kind of amazing or interesting in a way. And in 1 Kings 8, at the dedicatory prayer by King Solomon, he uses the term in that prayer, hear, I believe 12 times. And maybe another one for listen, but yes, hear my prayer, hear my prayer, hear my prayer. So this is the way we begin now in this low state of despair. Hear my prayer, O Lord. And we want to cry out to the only source, the only one who is above and outside of the confinement of any problems that we might have. And so we go to him. We don't go to another person. We don't go to another source of prayer or a target of prayer, which cannot help us, but we go to him. And hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. Listen to my supplications. Hear me, O Lord. And then how are you going to answer me? In your faithfulness and in your righteousness. Just think of that. We are praying to the God of the universe who answers our prayer in his faithfulness, in his righteousness. Isn't that wonderful? Unbelievable. I can't even grasp it. It's so awesome, really. And then verse 2, do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no living one is righteous. Apart from him, that is absolutely true. And this was really, I think, more accurate in David's day than ours to this extent. The cross of Christ has occurred since this psalm was written. And today, for in your sight no living is righteous. Every believer, I believe, is declared righteous because of his being adopted and having the righteous robes of Jesus Christ. It's in that righteousness that he sees us righteous, not in our own depravity and sin, but in his righteousness. And maybe David has done some sins here. I'm sure he has. We all have. And maybe these sins are giving a foothold for the enemy. And maybe this is the reason he's saying, you know, I may be partially responsible for this mess I'm in because of my sin. I don't know. But he just says, don't judge me now, Lord. I'm so low, I couldn't stand it right now. Don't judge me now. He says 3, talking about the enemies a little bit, for my enemy has persecuted my soul. Wow. Persecuted my soul. He had crushed my life to the ground. Think of those graphic descriptions here. My enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness like those who have been long dead. Not just those who are dead, but those who have been long dead. That's dead, isn't it? Long dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. Therefore, because of this crushing, because of this persecution, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. Wow. You know, two words I want to just mention in passing here, which come into play here with this depression and all. One is conviction and one is condemnation. Now, we should be pleased and happy and thankful for the blessing of conviction by the Holy Spirit. Oh, how we need to be convicted of our sin and of our things that are not correct. And the Holy Spirit gives us that, doesn't he? So then we can repent and get right and not do it again, you know, not continue to make the same mistake. But that is all in the product, the net product, that is all bringing us closer to Christ. The Holy Spirit's objective there, or the result, is bringing us closer to Christ. On the other hand, condemnation pushes us away from Christ. And where does that come from? Never from the Holy Spirit. Never from Christ. It comes from the enemy of Christ. It comes from Satan, the workers of iniquity, condemning us. And we've always got some sin. And the more sin we have, the bigger handles there are for condemnation. So if you've just done a pretty big sin, you can bet Satan is going to bring that up again and again as a condemnation. And that's to push you away from Christ. Now, that's amazing. The tactic of Satan not only is to make you feel rotten, lousy about your sin, and that you don't deserve anything but God's wrath, which is true, but it pushes you away from the only source that can bring you back to restoration, to get distance you from sin. Remember in the garden where Adam hid himself and where God would say, Adam, where are you? Now, of course, wasn't it Adam? Whereabouts were unknown to the Lord, but he just wanted to hear from the Lord and say, like my son, my child, where are you? So conviction and condemnation. Now, next we have verse 5. What do you do? You pray. And then next, I remember the days of old. Think about the miracles that God has done in your life. Maybe about the first miracle you can remember that the God did in your life, way back when you were very, very small, probably. And then miracles all the way through, and then maybe the greatest miracle that's ever happened, and that is your being born again. But reflect on these, remember the days of old, and then I meditate on all your works. Oh, think we're praying to the God of the universe and all the things that he has done. Amazing, amazing. Meditate, think about on all your works. I muse, or I ponder on the work of your hands. Meditating on the work, pondering on the work of his hands. And now it says, I spread out my hands to you. And again, I get the picture there that we read again on that same, back to 1 Kings 8 again. Solomon in his dedicatory prayer there stretches out his hands. So let's stretch out our hands to the Lord. Stretch out our hands to the Lord. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. I don't know if you've ever seen parched soil, even with cracks in it at all, and you put a little water on it and it just disappears. It just soaks it up, right? So that's an illustration here. How does your soul, does my soul long for the Lord like a thirsty land? And then we get into a whole number of requests here. Answer me, cause me, do not hide, cause me to hear, cause me to know, deliver me, teach me, lead me, revive me, bring my soul out, cut off my enemies, destroy all those who afflict my soul. So we get into all these supplications now in this prayer. And verse 7, answer me speedily, O Lord, my spirit fails. Now there are times when we're so low, we don't think we can hold on a minute longer. A minute longer, Lord, and I'm not going to make it. So we would cry out, speedily, Lord, answer me speedily, O Jehovah. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. Oh, if I get pushed away from you, Lord, there's no hope for me. I just like I'm going down into a pit with no way out. No way out. Verse 8, cause me. I like that. You're praying properly, I think. You're not just going to God and saying, God, do this, God, do that. But it's cause me to hear. Of course, you said, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Cause me to hear what? Your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Now think of that. How do you hear loving kindness? Does it make a noise? He says, hear it. Well, in the morning, that phrase is used in the Bible, basically talking about the breaking of the morning. And I think of the definition, for example, by the Hebrew culture. When does the day end? When you can see the first three stars. When does the night end and the morning breaks? When there's only three stars left. So if you get up on a clear morning before the sun comes up, dark enough so there's a lot of stars, and you ponder about the miracle of how God has this universe in orbit, and here we're spinning around the sun, and we're spinning on our own axis, and every 24 hours we spin around exactly, and you watch that come from lots of stars to maybe only three stars, if you can find the last three. And then and that's the breaking of the morning, and it just changes from darkness to light, really. And it's magnificent, isn't it? Now, at that very moment, are not his mercies and his loving kindness new every morning? They're new at that point in time. So what does he say here? Cause me to hear them. Hear them coming from darkness to light. Hear your loving kindness in the morning. For in you do I trust. Cause me to know. Cause me to know the way in which I should work. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk. Now just think of that. It's not just cause me to know the walkway, to know the way, but to know the way which I should walk. So I may know in the Word of God, I know exactly how I'm supposed to walk obediently and so forth, but do I walk that way? Show me the way. I like verse 133 in Psalm 119. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. I'm surrendering to you. I lift my soul up to you, to your will, not my will, to you. And then deliverance, like the great model prayer, keep us from temptation, deliver us from evil. Well, here it's deliver me, O Yahweh, O Lord, O Jehovah, from my enemies. In you I take shelter. Are you trying to take shelter, or do you take shelter in anything else, in your own wits, in your own strength, and so forth? Anything apart from God? He says, deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies, for in you I take shelter. Verse 10, teach me what? To do your will. Not just teach me your will, but teach me to do your will. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Teach me to do your will. Why? For you are my God. Oh, this is again, total surrender. Total surrender to do your will, not my will. Not my will, but your will be done. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Talking here about the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit always good? Yes, it is. Your spirit is good. And then lead me in the land of uprightness. The scripture talks about the land of uprightness a number of times as opposed to the wicked. The wicked are not in the land of wicked people. That's not the land of righteous. That's the land of unrighteous. So here he says, lead me in the land of uprightness. You would say in the land of grace, peace, and communion, of uprightness. And then 11, revive me, quicken me, bring me back to life. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake. What a beautiful request. We pray for revival, don't we? I think properly that is revival, bring back to life. There's no life in the dead, but those who once were alive and now are not alive, or at least not acting like it, bring them back to life. That's the believers. Second Chronicles, 7:14 says, to the believers, turn from your wicked ways. To the believers, humble yourself and pray to me. That's what we're talking about here. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake. Now, not for my sake, for your name's sake. Your name's sake. Think about that. I want revival in my life for my sake. Well, of course we do. But for your name's sake. For your name's sake. For your righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. So for your name's sake and for your righteous sake. Now, when you do these things, people will see that in you and God will get the glory for his sake. For his name's sake and for his righteousness' sake. And then it says, your mercy, in your mercy, not in my mercy, in your mercy, cut off my enemies. In your mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who affect my soul, for I am your servant. So again, an Old Testament prayer here, calling for cutting off enemies, destroying all those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant. And I think it's a good prayer for us in that regard, with regard to our spiritual enemies, but our people, personal enemies, we want to hate the sin, but love the sinner, right? Hate the sin and love the sinner. So this gives us that great list here, then, of what we do when we're really, really down. And the prayer is, answer me, do not hide your face from me, cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In you I take shelter. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. And in your mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy those who come against me, for I am your servant, not my servant. I am your servant. May I serve you with my whole heart. Father, we thank you for meeting us here. We thank you for this clear teaching, for what we do when we're really, when a person is really down. Help us to remember these things and to do them. Now lead us in these moments that we might pray to you as we ought. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we come to the end of the hour, and I just wanted to close with this song. Kind of summarizes where we have really been, with it's all about him and how we'd so desperately need him. And we can think about, muse on his works and on the miracles he's done to us in the past, and just think about how he touched you. So let's sing this song. He touched me.
Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame.
And made me whole.
this blessed Savior. Since he cleansed and made me whole,
Father, how we thank you for touching us. How we thank you for eternal life. That you have touched us, you saved us, you bought us with your blood. Oh, Lord, we praise your name. Help us as we go our separate ways this morning and this day to be a witness for others to see you, that you would be honored, you would, your name would be glorified. And people would be drawn to you. We ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.